told Jeremy, I said, I'm getting a little long in the tooth. Not as long as Brother Charles is, but I'm getting a little. Stool for me? Well, that's okay. Well, I found out I'm better off to just sit down and not have the other microphone and just share what the Lord's put on my heart. You know, life is like this. We're in a period of change. Do you understand that? That we're moving from one thing to another. You know, I remember when we were young, brother, you had black hair and I had hair. And I'm serious. He did. He had black hair, and I actually had hair at one time, red hair. And then all of a sudden, it all fell out. And it was over a period of a lot of years, but it did. And, you know, I think we're at a point to where there's no more playing church. There's too many people that play church. A lot of you young people, you need to listen to this. Playing church is going to get you nowhere. I titled this message is, Where Do We Go From Here? Where do we go from here? And, you know, I've been doing a lot of thinking about that, you know, because tonight, you know, it's mainly just home folks tonight. And, you know, some of my friends come to sit in the back and cheer me on a little bit. Old Bill's back there. And I like Bill's my buddy. And but anyway, we're going to start out in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. And I'm going to do something I usually don't do. I'm going to jump around a little bit, and then we're going to come back to Galatians. We're going to do a lot of talking. And I may do some preaching before it's over with. We'll just see what where the Lord goes. But, you know, this is the deal. Anytime that there is a church service and someone's preaching, and you feel the Holy Spirit touching you, you need to get to the altar. Amen. It doesn't matter at the beginning or the end or whatever. I used to preach a lot of revivals and a lot of youth meetings and stuff, and I always had the altar open the minute that I got behind the pulpit. The minute the first word was spoken out, the altars were open, and people would be there to pray with you and to help you. And that, I would hope that's the way it is here tonight with as many Christians and stuff as we have in this room tonight, the people that have been walking with the Lord a long time. But I'm going to read verse 1. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Why do we need this to start with? Why do we need to stand fast in the things of God? Why do we need that? Why do we need to be entangled again with the things of the world? Why? That was a big question I asked God time and time again over the last week. Why, God? Why do we not need this? See, I understand that I don't need to be doing the things that the world is doing. I understand that. But why, God? Why is it so important for me to take my stand? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. I like to preach out of Timothy. I can get to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and I can preach four messages out of there real easy. But I just want to read a couple of verses. It says, now. What does now mean? Right now, folks. Right now. Where we're at right now, where we're at in history, where this church is, where this body is, where you're at right now. Right now, in the present, the Spirit speaketh expressively that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You know what's happening now in the world is, and it's not just the world, folks, it's in the cotton-picking church. Cotton picking. That's a good word, isn't it? It's even in the church right now that people think they can come in and sit in the church and not have anyone offend them or say something that might upset them because they're living in sin. And it's because their conscience has been seared to a point to where sin doesn't bother them anymore. I want to tell you what, the same sin there was 4,000 years ago is the same that sin today. The same sin that was in the Old Testament is the same sin that is today. The same sin that Jesus called sin when he was walking this earth is still sin today. Amen. The problem is that in the church, and see, I'm talking about the church tonight, in the church, the church's conscience has been seared. To a point to where, you know what, Mike, it's okay. You know, I want to make everybody feel good. I want to tell you something. Brother Larry's never been where he just really wanted to make everybody feel good when he's preaching. Because if there's something that needs to be dealt with, you need to deal with it. If you've got a problem in your life, you need to deal with it. Why? Because the church needs people that will stand up and say, this is what's right. That's what's wrong, and I'm not backing down. I'm tired of the devil coming in and sitting on the church pew, and we're supposed to say, oh, everything's okay, Millie. Everything's fine. It's not fine, is it, brother? And the thing is I see the same things that you and I dealt when we were the age that Jeremy and Kelly are, is the same things that they're dealing with now, but even magnified to an extent to where the church accepts sin more now than it ever has before in history. Hey, Sodom and Gomorrah has nothing on us. Just walk outside and go down the street. I guarantee you I could score dope within 4 blocks of this church or less. And some of you know that I could. We're back in Galatians. I tell you what, let's go ahead and go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. This is a good verse too. I used to use these scriptures a lot when I preached a lot of youth revivals. It says, this know also that in the last day perilous times shall come. You know, I was watching my little niece up here singing, Sophie. That blessed me so much. I had to show her that Uncle Larry really appreciated her and get me a hug from her eventually before the night's over. But see, we don't have many children that's being raised up to where they really are paying attention to what God's doing, you know. I look in the services, and parents will hand their kids a phone or a tablet or something and not make them pay attention to what's going on in the church. Well, if that hurts you, I'm sorry. You never see me hand one of my kids a phone or a tablet and say it's all okay. You just sit there and play on that. Because they need to learn from a young age of what's going on in the church. He says in verse 2, and I'm using King James tonight, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall not profit you nothing. Listen, Kelly said this morning, religion ain't going to help you. Religion's not going to help you. You know, if you think your church or your denomination is going to get you into heaven, you are in trouble. The only thing that's going to get you to heaven is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you what, all those people out there that you say that you're praying for, you've got a heart for and stuff, you may be the only one that can take that message to them. He went on to say, I testify again unto every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. If you're going to make it by religion, buddy, you better be doing the whole thing. You better be blameless. You better be perfect, because if not, you've got a problem. says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Years ago, I went to a meeting in Georgia at the Georgia Dome. It was a Promise Keepers meeting, and Max Licato was preaching there. And if you don't know Max Licato, Max Licato was a Church of Christ minister. Go look his history up. And he preached a message that touched me so much. He said, we're all sailors on a ship, every one of us. He said, the only problem is some sailors think they're the only one on the ship. And that was a load for him to say. Let me tell you, it was a load. And that's the problem, is we think that our little thing right here is all that there is. And there's more to it than just this. But the problem is the church is so alienated itself into a little spot here and a little spot there and a little spot there, and the devil's saying, ha-ha, I got you. Because we're never going to be as effective, Jeremy, if it's just one little spot. You know, I look at Joel Osteen. He's got that big church of thousands of people. You know, and his daddy had a huge church, but his church is even bigger than what daddy had. And I thought, man, even with that many of people, when you look at it, the city of Houston, that's just a speck. You listening? That's just a speck. And you think maybe us here at Paris Christian Center, we're just a speck. I want to tell you what, we're more than a speck in this city if the people within this church will start standing up and saying, you know what, I believe in the true God. I'm not taking any halfway religious stuff anymore. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to fall in and I'm going to serve God and I'm going to be what I'm supposed to be. And guess what? We will start seeing more and more people coming into this church because the truth always sets people free. And what the world is looking for is freedom. They're looking for something that's real. It says, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. I'm going to tell you what, anything we do in the church, Angel, has to be done by love. Man, I will tell you something. I used to think that I had to just get in people's face and just give them what for. I don't have to do that. I just have to stand back and let the Holy Spirit do the work. You know, it's a whole lot easier just to say, okay, I'm depending on you, Father, to take care of this situation, to do what needs to be done. I'm depending on you. Because, you know, I've tried it in myself. You know, when you preach a lot of revivals, you sort of learn how to survey the crowd and what to say to sort of make people move, you know. And it's a sad thing, but we preachers learn to do that, don't we, brother? Instead of sometimes just looking past and saying, okay, God, I may not have this, but you do. And quit trying to pick out what you can do to zero in on one person you may know a little bit about or something, and just let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does. Then he said something, you did run well, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. What's hindering some people in the church? What's hindering them from doing everything that God's called them to do, to standing up and saying, I am a Christian, I do not agree with sin, I do not agree with fornication. I do not agree with adultery. I do not agree with being cheating people and doing people wrong. I'm a Christian and I stand up. I'm not going to listen to the dirty jokes at work. See, that kind of stuff doesn't come from the Father. It comes from the enemy. The next verse says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You take a little bit of leaven and you mix it in with some hot water and sugar. Then you put it in your dough. You mix it all up and you sit back and it goes, give it an hour and it'll be flowing over the bowl. Small problem. Listen. What does it say? The small foxes spoil the vines? A little bit of leaven. Just a little bit. A little bit of sin in your life. And listen, I have to deal with the sin in my life, and you have to deal with the sin in your life. But a little bit of sin will just start growing and growing and growing until one day, Mike, it'll just overtake your life. And guess what? That's just all you can sort of think about. How can I cheat Sam out of some money, maybe? Or how can I do this? Or how can I do that and get by with it? And all of a sudden, that little thing just starts growing inside you and growing and growing and growing until it comes to a point. Guess what? You just can't control it, folks. That's what drugs does. There's nobody ever started out doing drugs and said, my whole goal in life is I want to be a drug addict or a drunk. I started out drinking to fit in with my friends a little bit. Now, I've always liked the taste of beer. I'll tell you that right now. I've always liked it. But it became a big problem for me. Because that little bit that was in there started growing and growing and growing till one day I no longer had control of it. It had control of me. It's either amen or oh me. It could be oh me and amen for some of us. Been there. It's not fun. He said, I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whoever he be. And it's not just talking about the devil there. It's talking about people that hinder other people. You know, you got to be careful what you're doing. You don't want to be that person that hinders somebody else from serving God. So it's okay for us to do this. You ever hear that? Who hasn't? And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. You know, I've prayed that before. I've had people to where I saw someone that was in my church, that somebody was hindering them. And I'd say, God, do whatever you have to do to get that person out of their life. Whatever you have to do. I've prayed that over my children. God, kill them. I don't care. Say, that's real hard, Brother Larry. Listen, if something is important for you, you will fight for it. No matter what it takes. So you act like you're sort of mad. I'm not mad. I'm happy. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Listen, you've been called unto liberty. Everyone that's in this room has been called unto liberty. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, He's calling you unto liberty. Only use not that liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. You know what too many of us say? Well, I'm this or I'm that, and I got saved, and everything's okay, and I hate to tell you, it's not. You can't do what you want to and serve God and expect to go to heaven. What's my little saying? I've told you all this in recovery. Part-time Christians will serve eternity in a full-time hell. Say, oh, Brother Larry, you should be telling people, hey, it's the truth. Should I tell you? Oh, it's okay. Go ahead and keep on sinning. Keep on doing. Keep on fornicating. Keep on committing adultery. Keep on stealing. Keep on doing this. Keep on doing that. It's all going to be okay. Well, it's not okay. See, well, God didn't see it. Oh, yeah, he did. We just think he doesn't. It says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. One thing that I really have preached over the years and tried to walk in it myself is to love people. No matter what. I told my wife, I said, I can't stay mad at people. I've tried. You've known me a long time. I just can't really stay mad at folks. That's something God's done in my heart. People that stole from me and done things to me and talked bad about me, I just, you know what, I've seen you do the same thing. Forgive people. That's okay, God. I just want to love people. I want to learn to love the way that Jesus loved. I want to learn to love unconditionally. I want to learn to love without expecting anything in return. Now, I want you to listen to verse 15. It says, but you. Who's he talking to there? He's talking to church, folks. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. How many churches over my 40-something years of ministry have I seen destroyed? How many ministers have I seen fall? How many people have I seen hurt because of people in the church? Start in this little, it's a little bit, remember, a little leaven, just a little bit. Just a little bit, you know. You know, old Charlie Jackson, we all know him. Let me tell you something about Charlie. And here it goes. I forget to say that he's a good man. It's just that one little thing. That one little thing, and what happens? Word gets back to Charlie. Brother Larry's talking bad about him. Then what happens? Charlie gets upset. And Charlie says something to me, and I say something back to him. Before you know it, we got Charlie's bunch over here, Larry's bunch over here, and we're going at it like that, back and forth. Hey, the word says this shouldn't be. He says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh or the need to cause division or the need to fuss or the need to say, I've got this right. You know, it's my right to say this. I got a right to be mad at that person. I got a right to die and go to hell, is what I got. And Jesus said, if you'll trust me, if you will grab hold of me, Bill, and hang on for all there is through this ride of life, I'm going to take you to heaven. It says, if we'll walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Man, there's times that I have to sit down when the devil comes and jumps on my back. I want to tell you something. The devil gets after me, folks. And I have to sit down and I have to, you know, I'm not like my wife. I don't get real loud when I pray. You can hear her the next county when she really gets going. Me, I just may be sitting there. She'll see me at the kitchen table like this. And I'm probably in as deep a prayer and thought as anybody you ever heard to shouting, but it's just the way that I am. It's the way God and I communicate. And I will pray in the Spirit. I mean, The devil don't understand what's going on. It upsets him, but man, that stuff is just overflowing out of me. It's just coming out of me. And I'm saying, God, what's going on? What do I need to do? How do I need to go? It says in verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the spirit, you're not under the law. You're not under the things of the law. Why? Because the spirit is always pure. It's always holy. I've never made a mistake when I was listening to the Holy Spirit. Never. I've never got out of line when I was listening to the Holy Spirit. You know what I have to do to be able to get out of line? I have to step plumb outside of what God is wanting me to do, and on purpose, because it makes this old flesh feel good. So I'm going to regurgitate on somebody today. I'm going to rain on somebody's parade. And I'm going to make myself into, well, I won't say that. Then he goes on to say what the works of the flesh are. It says, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, we've already been talking about that, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such alike, and I've done most of them. What I haven't done, I've thought about. Kelly talked this morning about kicking somebody, and all I want to do is pop a cap on them. Takes too much energy to do the other. I'm just thinking, you know, shoot, why waste my energy, you know? Yeah, that's okay. Why waste your... But listen, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Thank you, sir. It's a good deacon right there. Let's start over on this. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. If you will let the fruits of the Spirit move in your life, the law has no hold on you. And let me tell you something else. The devil has no hold on you. It's when I'm out there trying to do things on my own way, that I get in trouble. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. What does it mean to crucify? Put it to death. Man, how do you do it? One thing at a time. What do we say about recovery? It's one day, 1 second, 1 minute, 1 hour. How do you deal with the flesh? 1 second, 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day. And you find out when you start putting stuff to death, putting the axe to it and putting it to death, that the next little problem, the next little thing's a little bit easier to deal with. Why? Well, you get to a point where you say, I'd rather please God. I'd rather walk with God. And I'd rather feel like I'm justified. I would rather be justified by Him and to feel justified in my own. It says, let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Then it goes in verse 6, chapter 6, and it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Wow. So we've gone from walking in the Spirit. What's important that we walk in the Spirit so we be able to fulfill chapter 6, verse 1. See, I can't restore anybody if I'm not walking myself where I need to be. I always think of my old First Deacon James Majors. Every time I read this, he says, "Preacher boy, your walkie-walkie has to match your talkie-talkie." I mean, I heard that every day for months. He would call me up and tell me that. And I thought immediately, I'm doing something wrong. So what did it do? It made me start checking myself. If you're going to preach it, you better live it. If you're going to go to work and tell somebody you're a Christian, you better be living it. If not, you just need to forget about it and just be a heathen. See how that works for you. That's what I tell people in recovery. I say, how's that working for you? How's it working for you not serving God? Oh, you're broke? You're disgusted? You're sick? Oh, I wonder if maybe your walk with Christ might have a little bit to do with that, you know? It says, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinketh himself to be something when there is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burdens. You know, it says here that I'm supposed to help other people. It says to bear one another's burdens. But then in the end it says, guess what? I'm responsible for me. You know? In the end, when we all stand before Christ, I can't stand there and say, oh, well, I knew old Mike, he was a good guy, or I knew Angel, or I knew Sam, they were all okay. My word's not going to really mean nothing then. It's going to be what you've done before God. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. I love this next scripture. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap what? Life everlasting. Hey, don't think you can fool God. Don't think you can hide from God. Oh, well, God didn't see that. You know, I was just out, you know, and they were telling a dirty joke at work, and my ear goes like that all of a sudden, and I listened to a little bit of it, and let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit was right there with you. It was right there with you. See, that's one of the things we tend to overlook is that no matter what we do, where we go, what we say, even when we shut the door on our home, God's right there with you. He sees what you do in that secret place that you think that you have. See, there's times that I've gone to God and said, Lord, I did this and this and this. And he says, I know. I already knew. I just waited on you to tell me, to say you were wrong. See, that's why God liked David so much is this. It's not that David was such a good guy. If you'll read, David was quick to repent. Man, David committed adultery, killed people, took a man's wife, fornicated, you name it, he did it. But he's always quick to say, I'm sorry. See, God's not looking for somebody to be perfect, because that was Jesus, and Jesus died because of our imperfections. He's looking for people, Tommy, that will say, "I'm sorry, Lord." I hope this is sinking in a little bit. Say, "Well, man, you're talking to the church tonight." I know that. God knows it too. Let me tell you what. I believe there's people in the church that's got some secret things that they need to get rid of. Why? We're in a place of change. It's not where we're at now. Where are we going? Then it says in verse 9, and it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Man, that scared me when I read that. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. Wow. Does that mean we could lose a whole ball of wax? That's what I get out of it. Well, it's okay if I go do this and this. I hope you don't die while you're doing this and this. I thought you was an old Baptist. Well, I was raised an old Baptist, but I read the book. And it says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Let us do good unto all men, especially your brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's what it's saying there. That means I need to try to treat everybody good, but especially the people that's in this room tonight. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are becoming new." The word there is becoming. Step by step, day by day, things are changing. There's things I see now that I didn't see 20 years ago or 30 years ago. There's a walk I have to walk now that I didn't walk 30 years ago. That the Lord is sort of instructed me that, you know what, I got a few years left, and these years I got left, there's some young people that need to be taught that, guess what, your walkie-walkie has to match your talkie-talkie. And it says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation." Who did he give that ministry to? I've said this before many times from here. Who did he give that ministry to, the ministry of reconciliation? Us. So he gave it to Kelly, or he gave it to Angelo, or Larry, or Jeremy, or Sam, or surely it's got to be somebody other than me. No, he gave it to you. So, man, I don't have a ministry. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. It says, "To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." See this book? That's where you find out where the word of reconciliation is. It's in this book. You're not going to find it reading Little Women or Tom Sawyer or something like that. You're going to find reconciliation in the Word of God. It says, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, in Christ's stead be you reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I believe reconciliation starts in the house of God. I believe it starts in church. See, how can we go out and reconcile the world until we've reconciled ourselves to each other? How can we do that? Think about it. You'll be a hypocrite? That's what a hypocrite is. How can we go out, listen, how can I go out and tell people they need to love Jesus when I can't love other people? How can I go tell somebody that everything in church is just great, we're just having fun here, when I have aught against maybe Charles or even my wife, you know? She's rolled her eyes when I said that. I saw her. I saw that. I'll deal with you later. She said, I'll deal with you, old man. Listen, we have an opportunity. The opportunity is to show the love of Jesus to everybody that we come across our path. It doesn't make any difference where it's at. How much time does it take to be kind to somebody? A split second. How much time does it take when somebody says, I got a problem, and say, come over here and let's talk about it. Is there anything I can do to help you? Can I pray with you? That is being a Christian, Sam. In the extent of being a Christian, that is being a, if you want to know what being a Christian is, it's loving people that are unlovable. See, that's what Christ did. See, people ask me all the time, says, how can you work with those people? I just laugh at them. I said, who are you talking about? You know, those people. You got me going now. I may get the flesh over that. I tell them real quick, I trust those people a lot more than I trust you. Whoever you mean those people are. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 17. I just want to read this. Everybody's heard this. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I was telling old Buck yesterday, Buck, you're the best old dog in the world. Now, I wish you wouldn't bark so much. Because sometimes you get on my nerves. You know what he did? He barked at me. He said, I'm going to show you. He says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Then I like verse 17. Everybody likes verse 17. They just don't like the rest of it. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. You know who he's talking about? The people that are walking by faith and walking in the Spirit. You can shout, holler, jump a pew, You can do whatever you want to. That doesn't faze me. But when I see the Spirit of God in you, that touches me. Man, you're not supposed to be looking at yourself. God said I could be a fruit inspector. I want to look at your fruit. Where's your fruit at? So, man, I ain't got none. Well, you better go find some. You can't have none of mine. I'm keeping all my fruit. You don't cast out some devils? You don't kick the devil's teeth in? Anybody want to kick the... You know, we're talking about popping a cap on somebody. I want to pop a cap on the devil right now. Yeah. I want to kick him. You know, the way we kick him is to come into unity and say, we're not taking this anymore from you, devil. We're going to stand up. We're going to praise God. We're going to cast out demons. We're going to pray for the sick. I was telling Mary earlier today, we was talking, I said, when I first got filled with the Holy Ghost, we don't like to say Holy Ghost. You know, because you say Holy Ghost, you speak in tongues. Watch out, I start speaking in tongues. I'd get a little happy if you can't tell it. I told Mary, I said, when I first got saved, I had this buddy of mine, his name was Timothy Brown. He was a preacher boy too, except I had just been preaching a little bit longer than him, and I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and he had, and he was still a little Baptist boy. We went to St. Joseph's Hospital in Paris, Texas. I had me a big old bottle of oil, going from room to room praying for people until they kicked us out of the hospital. And they did. Security actually come and got us and took us out of the hospital. But you know what? I wish that I was that bold today. See, we need to come to a point where we go to the jails and say, guess what? We want the Holy Ghost to come up here in this jail, and we want these people to get God. We want them to get it right. We don't want them to get no jailhouse religion. We want them to get the Holy Ghost. Amen. Where the jailers get confused because all of them are going back there going, Shanda, da, 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 da. What would they do down here in Logan County Detention Center? They'd go, oh, what's going on there? I don't know. We better call the SWAT team or something. Hey, let me tell you what, when the Holy Ghost moves in, the SWAT team ain't got nothing. Because I've read in the book where when the SWAT team comes, they wind up hurting themselves out there in the field of battle. Why? Because God's on your side. So what are you saying tonight, brother? I'm saying it's time to put some feet and some theology to what you say you believe. You call yourself a Christian? You got a problem with me? You need to get over it. If I got a problem with Brother Mike, I need to get over it. If I got a problem with Stephanie, I need to get over it. Why? Because as long as we're fighting and devouring each other, guess what? We're going nowhere. If you've got family that you want to see saved and not go to hell, guess what? You better start thinking about it and start getting some things right. Man, I'm afraid of that Holy Ghost. I was too. Until it hit me. Oh man, everybody's getting nervous now. He may start praying for people. I might do that. If anybody wants the Holy Ghost, we might just pray for you that you get filled with the Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. Did I say tongues? I sure did, didn't I? I used to be afraid of tongues. You know, you met me about 9 months after I got filled with the Holy Ghost. For 3 years, folks, I knew it was there because I read it in the book. No one had to tell me. I read it in the book, and I would go from church to church to church, and I'd take that good old deacon, old Baptist deacon with me. And me down there, and they'd be praying at that altar, praying for people. And they start dragging people down the altar. I said, Brother James, they come grab me. I'm fixing to hit them. They ain't going to drag me to no altar. But one night, in the back of a Baptist church, Brother James, who I didn't know at that time, was full of the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues and prayed in the Spirit. He said, Lord, I remember this distinctively. Would you give this dumb preacher what he's asking for so he will shut up? And he reached over and laid hands on me, and it was, pow! Everybody left the church. I left the church. I had a CJ7 Jeep. You remember that old red Jeep I used to have when I lived up on the mountain? You probably don't. But I would drive about a mile, then I would have to get out of that Jeep, and I'd run around to shout. And praise God. I got home about 6 o'clock the next morning. Everybody wondered where I was being. And I'd hear the name Jesus, and I'd start crying and speaking in tongues. Jimmy was just old enough to where he thought it was funny that he would come up and holler, Jesus, just so he could see Daddy cry. Listen, I would that everyone in this room be hit by the power of God just like that. We've got 7 minutes left, I'm sorry to say. Anybody need to get saved tonight? Say, man, you're not begging nobody. I ain't begging nobody. You need to be begging God. Anybody need to get filled with the Holy Spirit? You know, you say, man, I just don't know if I have enough of God in me. I want to tell you what, I got enough of God to pour some into you. If not, Kelly, you got your microphone. I'm tired. I'm just going to get me a bologna sandwich and go to bed.